Hey everybody, my name is Barbara and we have another very interesting program for you. Today, my guest is Brian Wilcox and he is the Vice Commander with the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary right here in northern Idaho. You know, I've been thinking blue skies and blue water through a lot of this crazy winter we've been having, and so we're going to talk about that today with Brian. And we have information that you can use to have safe, enjoyable times out on all the waterways here in North Idaho. We're talking to all the boaters and everyone who's an on-water enthusiast. So stay right where you are. We'll be back after this message.
Co-op Gas and Supply Company Incorporated is your locally owned propane, farm, home, and hardware store. We've been in business as a community cooperative for 87 continuous years, and we're proud to still be owned by the people who shop here. At this time of the year, we see how important local businesses are to the community, from bringing product from all over the world to your home to participating in fundraisers and community programs. And so we wish to thank you, our customers, for your membership and continued patronage, which makes serving our community possible. This is Kathy, along with George Haley, General Manager, our Board of Directors, and the entire co-op staff, wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year. We hope to see you again soon at the Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, where neighbors have been helping neighbors since 1934. 208-263-6820.
Okay, here's the question. We really are having a winter, but where do I park? The City of Sandpoint has a snow removal plan. All you have to do is park on the even address side of the street unless posted otherwise. This policy is enforced through March 1st, regardless of if it's snowing. This will keep our streets passable. Please shovel sidewalks and hydrants within 24 hours of snowfall. For the latest snow removal policy, visit sandpointidaho.gov on the web.
Start the new year off right by visiting Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet. They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise foods, and more. They stock items that you won't find anywhere else in our area. They buy, sell, and trade. Open weekdays and located on Triangle Drive, just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
Get ready for your favorite winter sport. Dr. Allie here from Metaphysical Therapy. We currently offer a $55 winter sport strength screening and free 20-minute consultations. Appointments available immediately, so don't wait. Life is movement, and movement is life at Metaphysical Therapy, your movement specialists, making treatment available and affordable to everyone at 210 Triangle Drive in Ponderay. Go to Metaphysical Therapy, that's meta with two T's, .com.
Don't miss the Diabetes Undone Interactive Workshop. Join Dr. Wes Youngberg, diabetes expert and author of Goodbye Diabetes, and Brenda Davis, world-renowned author and plant-based dietitian, as they guide you through a hope-filled 8-session video course to reverse diabetes and reclaim your health. The dates for the event are January 10th through February 14, 2023, at the Idaho Pain Clinic. For more information, just visit us at the number 7b-seminars.com.
97.1 FM is North Idaho's radio.
All right, welcome aboard, everyone. Say hello to Brian Wilcox, who is the Vice Commander with the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary. Brian, thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me back. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. You were the former commander. Now you're the vice commander. Let's give our audience an idea about what is the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary. What is this organization?
Well, the organization is a civilian volunteer group that is there to back up the active Coast Guard. So we receive training and certification so that we can assist in many ways, but our primary function is recreational boating safety. We do this through safety patrols, and keep in mind, we have absolutely no police powers. We're here as a guest of the state because these are not federal waters of any kind, and besides, even if they were, we have no police powers. We're only out there to help people.
Right. Yeah. You know, the thing that's interesting for me about the Coast Guard Auxiliary is that, first of all, this is a national organization, and we are all inland waterways here, but you do serve, you know, where you have flotillas in the ocean areas or on the Great Lakes. What would you say, what is like the, do you have a number of how many flotillas or how many members there are nationwide?
In the past, there was, we were up to as many as 35,000 members. Our numbers have diminished right now. I believe we're down around 28,000 members. We are considered the largest volunteer organization in the government.
Really? Oh, that's correct. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. And our part of our function is, you know, safety patrols, but we also perform public education, and we also have free vessel examinations.
Before we get to those details of services, still kind of keeping our focus on the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary as an organization, 28,000 members is very impressive. Locally, how many members would you say you have? And also, you know, all volunteer organizations, it's kind of an interesting phenomenon that's happening. Volunteerism has kind of dropped off a little bit, and maybe that's COVID, maybe that's you know, other pressures that come. But what would you say is your member? What is your membership here?
Right now, we have 15 members in this area. And then I believe that the Coeur d'Alene flotilla has, I believe, 25 or 30 members.
Okay. How does somebody become a member? If someone's out there saying, you know what, I do love boats and I actually know some things about boating and would like to learn more and I would like to volunteer, how do they do that?
Well, we definitely would like to have more membership, and a lot of people should realize that this is an excellent way to give back to your community with the potential of serving the country in times of need. Mm-hmm. If there is a catastrophe, we can be called upon to deploy to areas around the nation to back up the Coast Guard. We were engaged in the past in training for the Cascadia event, should that occur over on the coast. We're prepared to deploy there. We do not self-deploy. We're asked if we would like to, and then we receive orders. We do nothing without orders.
Correct. Like a good military man that you are.
There is a chain of command.
So you mentioned before about the organization where members receive training. So when someone comes in and says, I'd like to be a member, I want to be involved in this, serve my community and serve as needed. What kind of training, what can they expect?
Well, once you show the interest, then there's the initial qualifications. You do have to pass a background check to make sure that you are qualified in that area. And then you would have some mandatory training, and then you would become an active member. Once you're an active member, it opens the door to further training where you can become a crew member or a coxswain, so you can operate a patrol vessel. And then there's other, many, many other tasks that we can perform to back up the Coast Guard. So there's a lot of training that you can do, and it is a great connection, and you get involved into a world you may not have been aware has been there for many, many years.
I think it's very exciting. We can talk about this more in depth, but years ago, I took, along with Gary, your seamanship course, which at that time was like, seems to me it was like an 8-week course, and it was very involved. So to be a member of the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary, do you have to be able to tie those fancy knots?
There's usually about 6 knots you have to tie. These are the most basic, but also the most useful knots that you can use. The main thing about a knot is you should be able to untie it.
I love it. Well, the knots were, I got all the knots, but that's because I practiced right up until the knot tying exam evening.
Perfect.
Doing those knots. I'm not sure I could do one now. Anyway, it's fun. It's fun to be informed. And you've mentioned your relationship with the United States Coast Guard as you may or be called up in some kind of an emergency, but you also have an excellent relationship with the Bonner County Sheriff's Marine Division. Tell us about that.
They are the true champions here. These are the men and women who are out there on the water to basically enforce the rules as the state has mandated. And they are the ones that, if there is a way that we can back them up, we attempt to do so. We have no police power, but if we can assist them, we're definitely there to help them. But they truly are the powers that have the authority to enforce. And so they are the ones that that we basically take a lead from, but our hierarchy works hand in glove with the state government so that we can assist in any way that we can.
You know, the beauty of the relationship is the sheriff's department, as you say, they have the authority if there is illegal activity, anything that's going on, they have the authority to do what needs to be done in that situation. But the auxiliary can come alongside them, assist them, and free them up in so many ways. And let's talk about some of those services that you were mentioning before. I think the first one that people need to really get a hold of and take advantage of, and that is your free inspections.
Yes.
For every kind of boat, every kind of watercraft. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Well, the free boating examination is an annual inspection that makes sure that you have all the correct safety equipment that's required, and then some additional safety equipment that just makes your boating that much safer. And in conclusion of that, you'll receive an emblem to post on the boat. And generally, when the law enforcement agencies see that, they can see that you are a conscientious person in that regard. And it usually generates a favorable response from them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a get-off-the-hook-free thing, because if you're not doing what you should be doing, they can still cite you.
Right. The sheriff's office. You
yes.
guys are just there to say, look, you don't have enough
life jackets, fire extinguishers.
Your fire extinguisher is expired. Mm-hmm. So you guys can point that all out and help
yes.
people understand these are the things you need to do, but it'd be the sheriff's department. They won't get their sticker if they...
That's correct. All things must be current and
operable. Correct. Yeah.
And in readily accessible, too.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit, because depending on the size of your boat and what kind of watercraft you have, like a canoe is different, but it does have some requirements also.
Of course.
And the size of your boat. So let's say, what's the average size? Are most boats around 24 feet?
On this lake, a 24-foot boat would be a little bit large. I would say that the average runabout on the lake is around 17 to 19 feet.
Okay. Well, that's too small. We need to get these boaters upgraded to 24 feet.
Well,
they'll have a lot more fun. I'm joking. So tell us about, for this average boat, 17, 18, 19 feet, what are some of the requirements that they need to have on board that boat?
You must have a properly fitting life jacket for every person on board. I mean, by properly fitting, if you have a child on board, you must have a child size life jacket, and they must be readily accessible. They cannot be stuffed away in a cabinet somewhere. They should not still be wrapped in the packaging they came from the store. If you need to put the life jacket on, you have to be able to do it as quickly as possible, and you should know how to do this.
And practice it. That's the thing. You've mm-hmm. got to practice this ahead of time, because if there's an emergency with your boat or something has happened, that's no time to be learning how to get this on. Isn't there an age requirement? If the young person is under X number of years, they must have that life jacket already on.
That's
how does
correct.
That work?
I, you know, to keep it from being vague, I would say anybody under 16 should be wearing a life jacket at all times, whether they're an accomplished swimmer or not. Surprisingly, a greater number of fatalities occur with people that know how to swim, and it's in fair weather. It's just simply a circumstance that has led them into the water, and if you don't know the proper procedures, it can take your life.
You know, that is really good advice. There are some situations that you just cannot, as you say, it could be good weather with, you know, pretty clear boating going on. Some of the things that could happen if you fall overboard, you hit your head on the stern deck, you hit your head on the side, nobody's going to be wearing a helmet. And at that point, you are perhaps knocked unconscious, and you're not swimming then.
You could be disoriented. If you fall out of a boat going 40 miles an hour, it could be rather traumatic.
You're hitting that water pretty hard, and you're confused. You know what? There's another thing. This is a deep, cold lake, and it stays cold until, I don't know, I've done a lot of swimming, but it stays cold all over, and down deep it stays cold. There is a cold water shock can take your breath away, and when you fall in cold water like that, you go, and you are sucking water right then, and you could be down right then, or at least you can be immobilized by cold water. Is that correct?
That's correct. A cold water immersion can, you know, bring about a reaction like that, and it's usually the surprise of it all. Most time, people fall in the water; they're not planning to fall into the water.
Right.
One of the things I was going to suggest that when you are in a playful mood and you're swimming, that's a perfect time to practice the donning of a life jacket, and just so you can see what it's like to be in the water with that. And in some cases, for the youngsters, to make sure it fits them properly, is to have them in the water and see,
they don't
see if
come
that
out
slips
of it.
Off. That's correct.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell a story on my brother, Brian. He keeps the sailboat at Bayview, and so he's there early spring, you know, getting it ready for the season, early season. And he's been around boats all his life. He fell into the water in like a March time frame, late March, and the water was cold.
Very cold.
And the marina was pretty deserted at those early days. And at the very beginning, to hear him tell the story, he, you know, he was not overly, he didn't call for help. He was just trying to get himself up onto the dock. Within moments, he was losing strength in his arms. He was trying to kick with his legs, and he was losing power, his muscles. And finally, he realized he needed help, and he called out. And praise God that there was someone there that heard the cry for help. And by the time they got to him, he was almost immobile. He was almost immobilized, and it wouldn't have been but another minute before he would have slipped under the water. It can happen that fast, can it?
It certainly can. And if you've, you know, many people have been in the water, have been swimming, but if you've ever gone in the water with your shoes and socks and your pants,
yes,
and your jacket on, that's a whole different feeling. It's like you're wearing a set of bricks.
Yes.
And it restricts your movement, and you can't really swim. It's like if you're caught in the current or in the wind, you may not be able to swim back.
Yeah.
So at that point, you need to go into a survival mode where you do not struggle. You simply try to get assistance and try to retain your body heat.
Yeah.
And try not to slip under and try to get assistance.
Well, we don't want to hurt anyone's just complete enjoyment. I love being in the water and out on the water. I'm a real water baby. And the message that you're sharing with our listeners today, Brian, is so important, because everything that you keep pointing to is be prepared. Have the life jackets accessible. Practice putting them on. Get that young child in the water with that life jacket close into shore and see how they manage it and if it fits. It's all about being prepared, isn't it? And then you can have fun.
I think that having fun is what we ultimately prize, but we want you to have fun over and over and over again. We don't want to see you discouraged from boating. I think boating is an absolutely wonderful activity that the family brings the family together.
Yes.
Many times I've been out in the public and the kids have got their nose in their phone. It's very interesting to them. Restaurants and out and about, but if you're out on the boat, the phone's been put away.
Yeah.
Kids are interacting with the family. They're having some fun. It brings the family together in many wonderful ways.
I agree. It's a great activity. And on that note, we're going to take another break. We have so much more information for you from Brian Wilcox, Vice Commander of the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary. He's here today talking to you.
It's time for Northern Quest's $50,000 Cool Cash Hot Seats Giveaway, January 12th and 26th. But don't worry, the seats won't literally be hot. I mean, even if they were, it'd be worth it to win your share of 50 grand. But they won't be. So just grab a regular seat at your favorite game and play with your Camus Rewards card as usual for your chance to win. Details at northernquest.com.
We hired a real-life quarterback to tell you about Turf Club Sportsbook at Northern Quest.
Pluto! 67! Mouse wizard left! Java domino! The pony side flanker! 280 hot! Set hot!
It didn't work out. So, here goes. Bet, watch, and win like never before at Turf Club Sportsbook with real sports wagering, wall-to-wall HDTVs, and luxury seating in the heart of the action at Northern Quest. Turf Club Sportsbook, the ultimate game changer.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people. But anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America network of food banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
Don't miss the Diabetes Undone Interactive Workshop. Join Dr. Wes Youngberg, diabetes expert and author of Goodbye Diabetes, and Brenda Davis, world-renowned author and plant-based dietitian, as they guide you through a hope-filled 8-session video course to reverse diabetes and reclaim your health. The dates for the event are January 10th through February 14th, 2023, at the Idaho Pain Clinic. For more information, just visit us at the7b-seminars.com.
What you've heard about probiotics is probably wrong.
I eat yogurt, so I don't need to take a probiotic.
Probiotics? They don't really work.
It's time to learn the truth about probiotics and join the Align Healthy Gut team up. Align has probiotics to naturally help relieve occasional bloating, gas, and abdominal discomfort. Try Align probiotics for a month and see how great a healthy gut can feel. Get $2 off your first month of Align at alignprobiotics.com.
Listen live anytime, anywhere with our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome aboard to our boating program. Today we're talking with Brian Wilcox. He's the Vice Commander at the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary, which is really an exciting group of people who are experts at boating, very knowledgeable, but they're volunteers in the community helping you be a better boater and being a safe boater and really enjoying being out on the water. And Brian, we were talking about the free safety inspections that the Coast Guard Auxiliary offers, and of course life jackets being a big part of that, but fire extinguishers and other issues are important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the safety equipment that is necessary for the basic safe operation of the boat. We're primarily interested in the ability to survive an incident which may involve a perhaps a falling overboard or a collision or a fire. So the primary things to keep in mind are the fire extinguisher and the life jackets. I would encourage people to go to our website, and from there you can get a contact number and you can request a free inspection.
They could request an inspection before they're even out on the water this summer.
That's correct. We can do it on the trailer.
Awesome.
And this year we are going to try to be at some of the various boat ramps, and we're going to be operating there. And so if you can take a moment, we may not do it when you're launching the boat because people are usually excited.
Perhaps waiting too.
Yeah, I think in the afternoon when you're returning, it would be an excellent time, you know, when you're getting the boat loaded up and making sure everything's there, that we can go over some of those things.
And that's a great idea. Fire extinguishers, do they need to be examined every year? How does that work? I know there's a tag that gives
them... There recently was a recall on the most favored kitty fire extinguisher, and it was the plastic handle would fail after it had been exposed to sunlight. So you may check your fire extinguisher to see that it has been upgraded or in need of upgrade.
Okay, that's important.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that we can do during the examination.
Excellent. And what else? Let's talk about other craft like canoes, kayaks. They have their own requirements, don't they?
Absolutely. Every type of craft, whether it be a paddle craft, whether it be a runabout or a sailing vessel, they all have some various requirements and various differences. A lot of people believe that paddle craft are somewhat exempt since you don't have to register a paddle craft. If it has no motor, it doesn't require a state registration. However, again, most people mistakenly believe that because you have a floating device, you don't need a life jacket. I did question one person. I was at the boat ramp and she had her toddler on the front of the board and she was about to depart. And I said, neither of you have life jackets. You know that right over there hanging up, there are free life jackets that you can take. People donate them and please put a life jacket on. And she you know, did so. She wasn't offended that I suggested that.
And was it required? Could she, if the sheriff had been there and she headed out with her toddler without a life jacket on, if they had, you know, they might have just warned her?
Yes, I believe that that's what they would do. It could be construed differently.
Child
if somebody,
endangerment.
Perhaps,
could be
but
one thing.
I think that the ultimate is information and trying to make the right choices. I don't believe that... that they would, unless they felt it was necessary to do that. That is upon them. But I know that their feelings is that they want people to have fun.
Absolutely.
Safely, so that they can have fun over and over and over
again. But the point is, there are some things you don't have choices on. I mean, just because you get, you know, advised doesn't mean that they're going to give you a pass every time. Anyway, the point is to stay safe and have fun, whatever the craft is, whether it's paddle craft or a kayak, canoe, or a big, beautiful boat, which is what I recommend. Everybody get a big, beautiful boat.
I think getting involved with what with some of the requirements and restrictions and the even just the mistakes that other people have made, you don't want to repeat those.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to engage in that, you know, do a little bit of research. It's all out there on the internet at your fingertips. And
you know, what a sigh of relief. I mean, if every boater or kayaker would talk to you guys and have you come and say, this is what you need, this is what's required, this is what's going to keep you safe, big sigh of relief. You get a free sticker, you get a free inspection, and you know that everything is ship shape. That's what we want. I mean, that's just that's where you want to be as the captain of your boat.
Agreed. Absolutely. We would love to give that information. That's one of our main features is to pass on the knowledge and to try to keep people as safe as possible.
Well, talking about passing on knowledge, you guys are going to offer a one-day, all-day class coming up called Boat America. Tell our audience about that. I know that you still don't have everything finalized, but tell them about that class.
Well, this will be the first year we've offered this class. It's a new class to help kind of streamline things, because traditionally our boating safety and seamanship class, it's 13 lessons, and it's spread out over several weeks. So it has required a bit more time and involvement from people. So the Boat America class was intended to be a one-day class that gives the same overview, but not as much in-depth information. We find in the BS&S class that people are intrigued by navigation and reading charts and things like that. We spend an entire evening on that, and we've had a number of people that have signed up for an entire course that we offer on navigation. It's just a fascinating thing to learn about. A lot of people know about latitude and longitude, but they've never practiced it. And if a lot of people are following a compass course, they don't realize that the compasses do not point to true north. They point to magnetic north, which changes every year.
I know. See, we're already getting complicated. Brian knows all of these details. I love it. So Boat America, it's coming up probably in late March, maybe early April.
I think late March or mid-March.
Mid-March to late March. So Brian's going to get that information in here to the station, and we will announce it, maybe even have you back for a short announcement to tell our folks about, because this class will not be free. There will be an expense involved in it. It's an all-day class and lunches included, right?
I believe we'll go there, yes. I think that would be the best thing to encourage people to join us.
A couple of things that I think people need to focus on and maybe practice or maybe ask when they talk to you guys, and that's docking, proper docking etiquette. There's also the issues of with the wind pushing you in, the wind pushing you back away from the dock. Those are skills that practice and experience help, but they're important, aren't they?
Absolutely. Situational awareness. You need to read the environment to find out what you have to counteract and what will assist you. And I often recommend when people are docking that you never increase the engine speed.
Simply, no matter what.
No matter what. If it's not going to happen, if you are getting the wind or the current is blowing you out of position, you're just creeping along. And if you should bump into something, usually there's absolutely no damage.
Right.
If you start gunning the throttle, all of a sudden you're going too fast in the wrong direction. I have to gun the engine going the other direction, and people get carried away. And
right. There are no brakes on the boat, once that momentum. There's another thing that people, I think, don't understand. Talking about speed, why can people not visualize the no wake zone? What is it that they have to come in so close to shore and zoom around with either their boats or their jet skis? There is a no wake zone
from
every dock, every shoreline. It's important.
Well, it's always important to remember that by maintaining your distance, you allow an opportunity for your wake to lay down a little bit and not cause damage. If you go by somebody who's on a paddle craft, you could be several hundred feet away and you could knock them off. And it would be, it's not something that is a laughing matter. You are ultimately responsible for any damage that your wake does.
Yeah,
and it could be construed leaving the scene of an accident if you continue on.
The no wake zone is really important.
Yes, it
because
is.
People are jumping off of docks and swimming. So if you're going in close to shore with a jet skier behind you and think that's going to be fun, no, it's not fun, because there are people, kids, dogs in the water there. That 200 feet off the end of a dock is important. It's not just the shoreline. It's off of any marina structure or whatever. And then from there you go out 200 feet.
Yes, I've seen watercraft put on people's docks. And also erosion that can be caused by wakes,
that's
and that's an issue that that could harm the environment?
It harms the environment, and it could also harm our fish population, who may, you know, at certain times of the season, they've got eggs there on the shoreline, and if the wakes are damaging that habitat.
Yes. And also mentioning fishermen, when they have lines in the water, not free to maneuver as easily as someone that's not fishing. So if you see somebody who's you know, looks like they're trolling and going slow, give them a wide area. Try not to make it difficult for them.
And honestly, I hope we're speaking to people today, because we said, okay, I'm just going to go there. We were talking about this before we went on the air, and I've just got this thing now about electric bikes, and and that these guys and women are zooming around on these electric bikes.
There's an electric boat now, Tom.
Oh, is there?
Yes, there is.
Oh, my goodness. Well, at least it's kind of quiet.
Yes, but there is also an electric surfboard that goes 30 miles an hour.
I'm telling you, the electric bike, I mean, because people just get impatient. Drivers, I was talking to the sheriff here a couple of weeks ago, we have got some impatient drivers cutting corners in front of you, and I'm just like, what? Come on, slow down out there. I say it at the end of every program, slow down on the lake, have fun. Mm-hmm. Give way to the fishermen and the swimmers, and get away from the shoreline and the docks before you come up to grade speed on your boat. Anyway, all right, it's like, have fun and be a good boating neighbor, you guys. And then if you want, you can invite me to come out on your boat with you. I'd probably say yes. All right, everybody, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we have more information just for you.
Get a great deal and save more today on a brand new Hyundai at Midway Hyundai.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Hyundai. Workday, play day, every day. Save every day at Midway Hyundai.
Why spend all day at the dealership? At Midway Hyundai, you save time with our fast lane delivery process. Complete all your paperwork and drive home in your new Hyundai in 60 minutes or less. Drive into the Midway fast lane today and start enjoying your new Hyundai in less than an hour.
Save every day at Midway Hyundai.
It's worth the drive to save today at Midway Hyundai. I-90 Autoplex and Post Falls, and go to midway.com.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Hyundai. Work day, play day, every day. Hyundai. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Hyundai. Save every day at Midway Hyundai.
60-minute fast lane delivery begins once vehicle is selected and purchase price is agreed upon and or financing is approved.
Today's big story is a mega collaboration.
That's right, Mike. For over 100 years, the iconic Sweethearts candies have been helping people communicate to their loved ones with sweet sayings like, be mine and cutie pie.
But now, Jill, through the power of science, the Idaho Lottery has fused the sweetness of the Sweethearts candies in a new scratch tickets featuring 20 delicious sayings.
Wow, Mike, that sounds like a sweet way to tell someone you care.
Exactly, Jill, but it's not just words. Each ticket also gives you the chance to win up to
$50,000. $50,000? Wow, Mike, for 50 grand, I'd give you a ticket that says date night.
In other news, newsman Mike now has plans for Friday night.
This Valentine's Day, say something sweet with the Idaho Lottery Sweetheart Scratch Tickets. Woo! Benefiting Idaho Public Schools and Buildings. Must be 18 or older. Play wise.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people, but anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America network of food banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
North Idaho's radio, 1400, 1450 AM and 97.1 FM.
Hey, everybody, as usual, we have it going on today. Kind of opened up the conversation here with electric bikes, but we're not going to go there with you guys. We're going to stay on boating. Brian Wilcox is the Vice Commander for the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary. I bet a lot of you did not know that we have a United States Coast Guard organization called an auxiliary organization. They assist our Bonner County Sheriff, and they are on call when needed to assist the Coast Guard. They are a national organization all across America, serving on rivers and waterways and lakes and the ocean. So what a wonderful organization, and how blessed we are to have a flotilla right here in our North Idaho waterways. There's a flotilla in Coeur d'Alene and maybe one along the Spokane River. I don't know. So there's
there is one in Spokane.
And of course, I know Seattle has got probably more than one serving in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
What a great thing. All right. Well, there's a boating class coming up. You can get free inspections. I want to turn our attention just again for people to be aware of the courtesy. And there is etiquette on the lake. There are right-of-way rules about sailboats and powerboats and all that. But what I want to ask you about, Brian, is the importance of not being the captain under the influence of anything like drugs or alcohol, right?
Absolutely. The operator of a vessel may not be impaired. The guests on board the boat can be impaired all they wish, but it's not advisable to be that close to a, you know, water can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. And people do need to keep in mind that if something does happen, you can't walk away.
Right.
You are, that vessel is what's keeping you safe. And if you, you know, if you have a little too much fun, it can be harmful. So we want people to have fun, enjoy themselves. If they're going to consume alcohol, do so conscientiously, but never drink and operate a vessel. It's not a good combination. There's been too many examples of things that have proven that to be true.
And it's against the law.
Absolutely against the law.
You can be stopped for DUIs on the water as the operator of the vessel. And we had just such a tragic accident last summer on Ponderay River where there were fatalities, sadly. And in talking with the Sheriff's Department and looking for your input on this, Brian, it seemed that the three contributing factors, the weather was very windy. The speed of the boat was very high, and sadly, just what we were talking about, there seemed to be some kind of impairment, perhaps drinking going on, that caused this very terrible accident. And that's just that's not a formula for enjoying the water.
Well, I know that having a fast speedboat can be thrilling and can be, give you an adrenaline push, but the most important factor that all boaters need to take into consideration is the weather.
Yes.
Whenever the weather is poor, you need to either get off the water or to take that into account, but the most important thing is to slow down. One thing that I think was perhaps missed in this case was that the operator didn't take into consideration the extra lives that he was carrying on that boat, and that those lives were his responsibility. Mm. And that when it's like whenever you're carrying passengers in your car, you shouldn't operate the vehicle dangerously, you shouldn't show off. You should make every possible effort to make sure that your passengers feel safe and secure, and try to make sure that nothing bad happens. I know it becomes very routine, and accidents usually occur because we were lulled into a sense of safety, but we should never drop our guard. We should always be vigilant. to make sure we don't harm anyone.
I really like your reminder. I mean, it's all important, but knowing the weather, boy, this lake, of course, they were on the river. What a sad tragedy. But this lake can come up really fast. You can have a pretty sunny day going on, and you can see clouds off on the horizon and think you're doing okay. But that weather can come up fast on Lake Ponderacana and hard.
Yes, it can. The squalls that have hit the lake surprise a lot of people very quickly. And sometimes people want to run away from it. And that's one of the reasons why your boat should be able to put on the necessary speed so that you can return to port before the weather changes. Many people have weather alerts on their phone.
Yes.
But sometimes you get out on the water, your phones don't work.
Which gets me to the thing we're just going to, we've got a couple of minutes for this, and that's the radio. Boaters are so good about alerting each other to upcoming weather, changing weather situations, knowing how to use and how not to abuse your radio. We may have to do another whole show on the radio, Brian, but talk to our audience about radio, using the radio correctly and etiquette.
Well, the radio etiquette, it can be learned relatively easily if you listen to the radio, listen to the how people behave on the radio. Again, you may not swear or curse people or do anything, and usually you want to keep your message very brief. If you carry on, people kind of miss the message.
Well, there's the all everyone channel, and then you go to, if you want to talk to someone privately, so to speak, then you go to. How does that work?
Well, we have a hailing channel, channel 16, and that is where you would call other vessel if you knew the name of the vessel, or if you do an any vessel. You can say any vessel, this is so-and-so. My motor's conked out. Can anybody assist?
Yep.
And then you stop there and they say, oh, well, this is so-and-so. Let's switch to channel 69 and or channel 72, and let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the we have 23 is the Coast Guard channel. And so you may overhear us when we're on training or if we're communicating with one another. But the best thing is to listen on the radio.
Yes.
A lot of people don't realize that the Marine radio, the VHF radio, is a line of sight radio. And so if you're out and your motor conks out and you call for help, you can see a boat over there, but unless they have a radio and you have a radio, you may not know their phone number.
Right.
And you couldn't contact them. They wouldn't know that you needed assistance.
Yeah, hopefully they're listening on channel 16. You know, any vessel, weather alert. I mean, that's where you're going to hear. So you keep it on that any vessel, or it has a better name than what I'm calling.
Well, there is a weather channel on the radio.
Yes, but if you wanted to, if you're not listening to that weather channel, you can be alerted by another boater about squall coming up from the south or something.
Yes. And then, of course, there's a mate. Day, if you are in distress, if it is a medical emergency, you can call for a mayday. And if you hear a mayday, do not respond. Listen, because they are calling for assistance from a party that can render assistance.
Right, the sheriff or you guys.
And if you don't hear anybody respond, then you can. Perhaps offer assistance.
I think a lot of people, most marinas have got a radio on also. They're either at the counter or wherever, and they have an ear listening to. You know, we are out of time. I can't believe it. It's always so enjoyable talking with you. It's because I love water and I love boats. So I love this
great
conversation.
Combination.
It is. Brian Wilcox, thank you so much for all that you do with the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary and all of your members. Just safe and happy boating to the men and women of your organization. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, everybody. That's it. Next week, come on and meet Cheryl McCarty with Bonner Partners in Care and Nicole Grimm, the medical director, as they discuss the services and new directions for 2023. As always, good information you can use or that you can share. So until then, this is Barbara saying take care, slow down out there, and may God richly bless you, my friends.